All right. Before we get started this morning, you may sense that there's just kind of something going on in the room, and there is, and some stuff that we can't really address at this point because of just the sensitivity of the subject. However, I want us to pray. The great thing about God is that He knows even when the rest of the room doesn't know, and He knows what's going on, and it's incredibly important, very disheartening, and yet some news I just got is encouraging. And so, I apologize. I hate doing that with our faith family, but it's for the nature of what's going on. It's the best I've got. Yet I think the best thing we can do is pray. And so we're going to do that multiple times this morning, just to give you a headline into the some insight into the sermon. But bow with me and let's pray together. And I'm going to ask you to not just listen to what I'm praying, but to pray yourself for the situation that you know nothing about. Father, I don't know. I'm just thankful that in Romans 8 you tell us that you pray on our behalf with groanings too deep for words, because I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to pray. But I do know that you know, and that you're King Jesus, and you are God Almighty. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And because of that, we can come to you when we don't even know what to do and trust that you're a God that loves more than we love, is able to do far more than we can do. And so, God, just my will is healing. And I ask that you heal in this situation. And yet I will trust your will in whatever it is that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, what a week, right? Very, very seldom do I have to change sermons in between a 9:15 and 11 o'clock gathering. And I'm not going to change the sermon, but I do want you to know it's a very different... I'm just tired. Can we just go... are y'all okay? Can I just download for a few minutes? Is that all right with y'all? Can we just have a conversation? I mean, we are exhausted around here. Quentin's on his way to deal with a situation that none of us are prepared to deal with. In the last few weeks, we've, as a staff, have tried to interject in situations of family dynamics that are difficult, and financial situations that don't have real good answers, and a church that burned a year and a month ago, and that's trying to get completed by May the 3rd, when we've told the school that we would be out, and rain will not stop, and we can't seem to get a parking lot done. And in the midst of all of that, personally, I had some stuff going on that just escalated the stress. And Quentin, who is our other lead pastor, is just dealing with some stuff that just escalates the stress. And this morning in between gatherings, we get information that just, I'm just honest with you, I'm not sure I can, I don't even know how to teach this morning, just to be real honest with you. And on top of that, we got a virus that nobody knows what in the flip is going on, all right? And so if you're watching the virus online, I want to give you a little bit of help. You're watching, you're turning on Facebook and social media, and you're getting your information. I just want to tell you, as close to the source as I could get information, I have a friend who is a House of Representative, he's a U.S. House of Representative, and I spoke with him a couple of weeks ago. And so this is the closest to the source I can get about this for you. Nobody knows. Okay? We know what China told us. And they're notorious liars, which means we don't know anything. All right? And I suspect that depending on which side you watch, there's this inner tension that's either affecting your heart or affecting your mind. Okay, because there's two kind of really types of people in the room this morning, and two types of people watching online. By the way, we have a lot of people watching online, probably set a record today of how many people are watching online at LifePoint. And we want you to know, if you're watching online, we don't think that you are silly. We don't think that you are scared. We don't think that you should be here with us. In fact, we want to welcome you to the conversation. So LifePoint family who are joining us live, would you welcome our online guests to the party this morning? And the thing that I've realized this week is that man, chaos just has a way of affecting our hearts and minds. If you're more like me and you're the analytical, lead with your head type person, then, you know, what you found yourself doing this week is trying to sort through the craziness to figure out what are the statistics, what's the reality, what's the likelihood. If you lead with your heart, you have turned on social media or TV this week and you're like, I feel so sad for all the people who don't are not going to get toilet paper. And you know, and then you're like, wait a minute, I don't have toilet paper, or I apparently don't have enough toilet paper, and I didn't realize that this was a stomach virus that was going around. You know what I mean? Like, you've been trying to like sort through that, and then there's people in the room that it didn't take a virus for you to realize the anxiety and the tension and the just stuff that's going on in your life. You know, before COVID-19, you were having relational issues and financial issues and stress issues and anxiety issues, and this is just one more issue. And I spent the week trying to figure out what's the most loving thing I can do as your pastor for you this morning. And I want you to know, every Sunday, I try to walk up on this stage, and I just want to be helpful. Right? I've given up on being cool a long time ago. I've given up on being great not too long ago. I just want to be helpful. And I just want to say something this morning that maybe helps you through the week. And for most of my life, I have not dealt with anxiety. I'm that guy that I just don't worry about very much. For most of my life, I've been saved since I was 18. And so for over 20 years of my life, it just hasn't been that real big of an issue. But I got to be honest with you, the last couple of months, I have experienced a small version of the hell that many of you deal with anxiety. And I don't know any other word to explain it than that. And this morning, I recognize that this virus has escalated that in many of our lives. And the unknown has escalated that to the point that for some of us, we're confused. We don't know what the next is. And over 20 years ago when I got saved, I memorized a verse of Scripture, a passage of Scripture, that I think has been the anchor that has allowed me helped me to navigate when the chaos happens in my life, whether it was the divorce of my parents or us finding out Jennifer was pregnant with Jalen 1 month after we got married and we were so broke we couldn't pay attention, and the chaos that comes along with that. And then as you raise kids, there's always something going on, right? And just trying to navigate that. And there was one passage of Scripture that I memorized right after I got saved that has helped me navigate that. And this morning, I want to kind of walk through it with you in hopes that it would be helpful for those of you who are feeling the tension of the week and the tension of the moment. And Paul begins this way in a letter that he wrote to the church at Philippi. While in prison, all right, so if anybody's understood tension and chaos, it was the Apostle Paul, who was, by the way, in prison for doing what he was supposed to do, for doing exactly what God asked him to do. All right, this is not like God's punishment, like, you didn't do what I said, I'm going to make your life miserable. This is a guy who was doing exactly what God wanted him to do and found himself in prison. And in the midst of prison, this is what he said to the church in Philippi. He takes out pen and paper and he writes a letter and he says, rejoice in the Lord always, 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 always. And again, I'll say rejoice. Brothers and sisters, let me just say this to you. Most of the time in our life when we experience chaos, and I got to tell you, about 25 minutes ago when I got news I didn't want to hear, this was very difficult to put into place. Most of the time when we feel tension, the tension in our lives will cause us to run from what we should run to and run to what we should run from. And I think the reason Paul brings us to this place where he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and then he says, the again I say rejoice is like, in case you missed it, I want to say it again for emphasis, is because a recognition that God never falls out of control is important to navigating the tension. You see, you need to understand this morning, you need to hear it said, and you need to sear it into your heart that COVID-19, swine flu a few years ago, the plagues of the 1700s or whenever that was, your finances, your relational difficulties, what's going on at work, what's going on at school, has never challenged the authority or the sovereignty of God. God has never woken up. First of all, God's never woken up because he's never been asleep. But he has never awakened and went, oh boy, this is a big one. We may have turned on the news and went, oh my, this was bigger than I thought. God has never been concerned about the difficulty of a situation. Not yours, not one that's been global. And so Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice because he knows that to navigate the tension, you got to get the attention off of your circumstances and onto the one who's in control. Because as long as your attention is on the tension will overwhelm you. But when we transition our attention off of the tension and into the fact that God's in control, it positions us in a place to navigate the tension in the way he would want us to navigate it. Are you tracking with me? Do this. So how does God want us to navigate? Well, he goes on, and this is what he says next. And I love this verse. This is not the one I memorized. The one I memorized came after it, but I should have memorized this one along with it because it's fantastic. It says this, let your reasonableness be known to everyone because the Lord is at hand. And this idea of the Lord is at hand means his return is near. And basically what Paul is reminding the readers in Philippi and ultimately us 2,000 years later is that since God's return is imminent, since it's nearby, don't worry about all the chaos, because what's more important is to be found faithful when he returns. Now, this is what I love, is let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And I just got to tell you, like, maybe it's just me, and I'm having a hard time smiling right now, and I'm having a hard time, like, enjoying what's going on because of the circumstances of the morning. But let me just tell you this. If you want something to laugh about, you turn on social media, particularly Facebook. And let me just say this. If you've bought enough toilet paper that when you got to the car, you couldn't fit it in your SUV, you're not reasonable. If you're the person who buys milk and bread when they say snow, you're not reasonable. Go buy Coke and cookies. It makes more sense. Who wants milk and bread if you're stuck? What is a bread sandwich or a milk sandwich? What is that? Nobody wants that. It's the hysteria of, well, that's what I've always done. I guess that's what we need to do. Somebody asked me, why do you think people's getting all the toilet paper? Because one person went, you know what, I'm going to make sure I got enough toilet paper. And the next person was like, there's not enough toilet paper. And they went, oh no, there's not enough toilet paper. And everybody went, go get toilet paper. And nobody knows why they're getting toilet paper. Because it's not reasonable. And Paul's like, listen, let your reasonableness be known to people. Keep your wits about you. Focus on the fact that God's in control. And when we position ourselves here and we get the tension off of the tension, we get the attention off the tension, we focus on God and we begin to be reasonable, then we get in a place where he says this, don't, and this is what I memorized, do not be anxious about anything. Now, what's in anything? Well, anything is anything. And the God who inspired Paul to write this knew that your anything felt like everything. He knew that your anything would feel so big that you would think it would be the exception to the rule. But he said anything so that you could have confidence that what feels like it is everything to you is still just an anything to him. And for the last 20 years, I've tethered my life to the concept found in this verse, that whatever I'm going through is still just an anything that God doesn't want me to be anxiety-ridden over. Concerned? Maybe. Intelligent and wise? Absolutely. Crippled by the anxiety? Never. He says, I want you to do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God with thanksgiving, right? Now, why? Why is this the format? Why is this the format? Don't be anxious. When I find something that has gripped and causing me tension, he says, get the tension, get the attention off the tension. And the way we get it off of it is through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your request known to God. Why is that the route that he wants us to take? And this is why I think the greatest way to get your attention off the tension is to begin to think about what you're thankful for. You see, it's virtually impossible to recognize what you're thankful for and stay focused on what you have anxiety over. It's virtually impossible. When we develop an attitude of gratitude, it changes not the circumstances, but the perspective of the circumstances. And what happens when we do this? This is the promise. Is that Paul tells us that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that so good? Because here's the thing that we forget. Those of you who lead like me and respond like me and you're analytical, that means our minds are susceptible and at risk to the tension. And those of you who lead from your heart and respond from your heart, which means everything is emotional and you're feeling your decisions and you're feeling the moment, that means your heart is at risk to the enemy. And left alone, they are vulnerable. And so somebody needs to set a sentry to guard our hearts. And Paul says the best way to guard your heart, the best thing to guard your heart is peace. And the way you get the peace of God to stand guard over your hearts and mine is that when you feel the tension rise, you go to prayer and you force yourself to be thankful. And when we do that, God guards our hearts and our minds. And so this morning, we're going to practice this. If you want a bottom line for the morning, this would be it. I'm challenging LifePoint this morning to choose faith over fear and choose prayer over panic. You see, all four are options that are available. Every moment of your life, you're going to have the option of fear and faith and panic and prayer. And you have to conscientiously decide which one you're going to do. And the one that you decide will decide what's going to guard your heart. If you choose fear, then your place in fear is the sentry over your heart. And let me tell you something, it will be more than willing to destroy you. And if you choose panic, you're setting it as the sentry over your mind, and it is more than willing to destroy it. But when you say, you know what, I'm going to choose faith and I'm going to choose prayer, then you are setting them as the sentry over your heart and your mind. And I can think of nothing better than God's peace to protect. Now, some of you are like me and you're sitting here, and this is what I'd be thinking if I was the one listening. So Matt, you're telling me if I just pray, then everything is going to be okay. That'd make a great bottom line because it rhymes. And I want to be the one to tell you, I'm not here to tell you that at all. I don't know that everything's going to be okay. I can't tell you you're not going to contract COVID-19 and die. You might. I can't tell you that your finances may not get worse. I can't tell you that your relationship may not end. I will tell you this. I think it's a safe promise for me to tell you in terms of this virus and the mass hysteria. I think it's fair for me to tell you this. I actually think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I think the number of cases that contracted are going to get higher. I think the hysteria surrounding it is going to get worse. I think the nature of social media means everything gets worse with it. Furthermore, we live in a day and time where we have finally figured out that the easiest thing to sell is fear. And so the media's job is to scare you so that those who want to sell you something have something to sell you. So I'm just telling you, it's going to probably get worse before it gets better. So I'm not here to tell you that when you go, hey, God, I don't want to be anxious anymore, so I'm going to pray, and with thanksgiving, I'm going to ask for the peace of God to guard my heart and mind, and everything is going to be okay. Faith is not faith when it assures you that everything is going to be okay. I'm saying make a choice that fear will not guide your decisions. Faith will. And panic won't make you decide what to do. Prayer will. And I'm asking you to set your eyes not on the one who guarantees to make everything okay, but on the one who has already in heaven decided who's going to win. And if this is the way that he ushers us into his presence, then so be it. And if it's not, then 2 years from now when there's another election cycle, we'll go through this again. You say, Matt, are you minimizing the reality of this? Absolutely not. I really don't know the magnitude of what this is we're dealing with. My responsibility as your pastor is to give you something helpful to navigate it. And the best way I know to navigate it is by the pages of Scripture to realize that we're given some options. And what we choose is totally up to us. And my prayer is that this faith family would say, you know what? We're going to choose faith in a God that is not, his sovereignty has not been challenged. And we're going to choose to pray instead of panic. So this morning, Nick and the band's coming back up, and we just want to put this into practice for you. We got some time. That's the shortest sermon I've ever preached at LifePoint, I think, other than the last one on prayer, right? And I just want to give you a chance to practice it. And so I laid in bed last night thinking, what could we do to practice the bottom line? So the band's going to play, and we're just going to invite you to pray. Some of our staff may be down here. Our staff is spread out actually all over the county right now, trying to navigate tensions in people's lives. I'm hoping there's a few of us. Here comes Tammy. She'll be here. There's Todd. He'll be down here. There may be some of our elders in the room. Thomas, do you mind being down here, please? Belinda, you can come with me if you'd like. It's up to you. That's fine. I'm looking around the room to see who else is around. Jana's over here. She leads a freedom group with me. Her and Mike will be down front. Jeff Walker's down here. If you need someone to pray with you, we want you to know we want to pray with you. And you're welcome to come down. Anybody that prays at this altar, I'm just going to promise you, you won't pray alone. It may be kind of odd. They're going to put a hand on you, and we've been told not to do that stuff. So just know, if you come down here, that's what's going to happen. We're going to pray for you. We want to invite every person in the room to turn around in their chairs and make it an altar and pray. Pray with your family. Pray with the people around you if you'd like. But this is my challenge for prayer. I've been thinking, what's the way we could do it this morning? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So this is what I want to challenge you to do. I want you to count your blessings this morning. I used to think that was the dumbest song ever when I was growing up, the old hymn, count your many blessings, name them one by one. But I got to thinking, and I tried it in the early service, and it actually is effective. This is what I want you to do. As you're praying, I want you to do this. One, I'm thankful for my family. Two, I'm thankful for, and you fill in the blank. And I want you to interlace your supplications, which are your request, in with your blessings. So like this morning, I prayed, and I said, I'm thankful for my mom and dad. And so I said, God, just protect them from this virus. I said, I'm thankful for my in-laws, Jimmy and Glenda, many of you know them, who in many ways have taught me what faith looks like. And so I just ask God to bless them and keep them safe as they navigate this virus. I begin to thank God for my brothers-in-laws and my sisters-in-law and my boys, my wife. And as I was thankful for them, I prayed for them. I thank God for a job and ask God to bless that opportunity that I had. And I want to invite you to do the same thing. As Nick sings, I want to ask you just to count all the ways you're grateful. And while you're telling God how thankful you are, ask him for what it is that your heart feels like is creating tension. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, I just ask, the one thing I ask is, would you equip and empower the LifePoint family to be the herald of help and hope during this time of crisis? In Jesus' name, amen.